I wonder, what have you been doing these last 27 years? What have you been doing these last 27 years? Just to help us understand 27 years, can you, everyone stand up if you weren't even born 27 years ago? Can we just see that? That's pretty much 35% of our group this morning. Thank you very much. So, those of you who've been around for less than 27 years, that's your whole life. What about, did I say 27? 23, 23, 23. What's life been like these last 23 years? What's it been like? Hard. It's hard, isn't it, at times? Has it been a bit up and down the last 27 years? I mean, the last 27 days has been pretty up and down, right? Those of you who are younger than 27, just tell me, just give me some ideas. What does 27 years sound like to you guys? Just one or two words.
A long time ago.
A long time ago. Any other? What does 27 years sound like?
27 years sounds like 27 years ago.
Yeah. Got that one. There wasn't an internet 27 years. Ah, there was. 27 years. What? Anyone else want to say something? What is 27 years to you who are younger than 27 years?
Say something.
I don't have to say something, but you can if you want. 27 years. What's it sound like to you, Caleb? I don't know why you're all in a tod over here.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Can you say 23?
No, I keep getting it wrong, don't I? It is 23. Yeah, I keep getting it wrong, 23. Why are we talking about 23 years? Anyone understand why? It was 27, it was 23, it's 27. No, 23. Why are we talking about 23 years? Anyone guess? My age. Because I've worked out that from the time Joseph gave a bad report to his father about his brothers, because if you remember, that's how the whole thing starts. So it seems like they were working together, looking after sheep. The older brothers probably were messing around a bit, you know what I mean? Probably doing stuff they shouldn't have been doing. Joseph gave a bad report to his father about them. And in a sense, that's when the whole thing started. And we're told that he was 17 years old at the time. Now, he then goes into he goes into jail and he interprets the dream of the cupbearer. It also says in the Bible that 2 years passed from the time of him interpreting that dream to the time when he's called before Pharaoh to interpret Pharaoh's dream. These are the sort of date points that we get throughout the narrative in the Bible. Later on, we find out that that Joseph was 30 years old when he entered Pharaoh's service. So even that, you know, we've got, you know, 13 years. Is that 13 years? From age 17 to 30. But then remember this, that the whole of the dream and the interpretation of the dream was that there was going to be 7 years of good harvest and then 7 years of famine. So if Joseph was 37 when he started working for Pharaoh, he was 37 when the famine struck. We also later on read in Genesis 45 verse 6, this is one I had to look up quickly this morning, that there was 2 years of famine before the brothers arrived in Egypt. Why am I saying all this? Well, he was probably about 39 years old when he met his brothers, when he revealed who he was. And then with the journeys backwards and forwards, he would have been 39 or 40 by the time his father arrived and he was reunited with his father. 40 minus 17 does equal 23. 23 years. Now, you guys have done Joseph in what? One term? You've done it in one term? Tim Rice and Andrew Lloyd Webber got it into a 2-hour musical. Yeah? I guess it's about 2 hours, is it? And when you see a musical or see a film and there's the beginning and everything's happy and a nice family life and everything, and then everything goes wrong. You know, good stories have a beginning, a middle, and an end, and at the end everyone lives happily ever after. You kind of forget that there was a lot of time in between and a lot of time of suffering in many cases. And in this case, 23 years. So what have I been doing the last 23 years? What have you been doing the last 23 years? What have we been doing? Have times been good? Have times been bad? Have times been difficult? What was Joseph's secret? How did he even get through? Because the thing is that every time he gets into another awful situation, he does well. Because he has an amazing attitude. He doesn't have the poor old me attitude. He has the I have a powerful God attitude. And that seems to transform everything. And a couple of words that really give us a clue to his heart are in Genesis chapter 50, verses 19 and 21, when Joseph's brothers are afraid that he's going to treat them badly. And Joseph really would have had every reason to get some revenge, right? But this is what he says to them. Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Do you know what? There's so much packed into just that few words. Am I in the place of God? Isn't he kind of sort of saying that when we judge others and want to get our own back, we're playing God? And he's saying, you know what? It's been tough. It's been really tough, but I'm not going to be playing God. Am I in the place of God? And then he says this, you intended to harm me. There's no beating around the bush here. He's not saying, oh, you know, you probably didn't mean to harm me. No, he's saying clearly, you intended to harm me. You knew what you were doing. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done. That is the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I will provide for you and for your children. And he reassured them and he spoke kindly to them. That's Genesis 50. And in the drama that 123 did just now, there's that quote where Gabby says, you know, this verse, Romans 8, 28, it hadn't even been written in the time of Joseph. And yet, it's the memory verse that you guys have had for the last term. And it kind of seems that even though Joseph could not have read it in the Bible because it wasn't written yet, there was a sense in which it was written on his heart. So I think we should. Let's have a look at this verse, please. Is it there already? Let's read it together, can we? And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. This is one of those verses. There's two of them in the Bible particularly. There's another one. Money is the root of all evil. Ah, love of money. Go on. The love of money, the root of all evil? Ah, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. But popular culture kind of just quotes the bit they think they want to quote, and they just say, money is the root of all evil. But if I've got some, it won't be that evil. You know, that's the kind of thing. And then this one, haven't you heard people say, oh, don't worry, all things work together for good. All things work together. But that is not what it says. Let's read it again, please. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And I think we need to unpack this a little bit. So we'll see it again now, please, yeah? Oh, there's some words missing. What are the words missing? So what are the missing words? In all things. Isn't that a challenge for us? You know, we could rewrite it and say, we know that in all pleasant situations, God's at work. But what about in all things when things are going bad? When you get bad news? Oh, health isn't quite as we expected. Finances aren't quite as we expected. Kids aren't doing quite as well at school as we expected. Parents aren't maturing quite as we'd expected. Is that what a kid sometimes think? Parents aren't quite getting it as we thought they would. You know, there's all these things. And the Bible's telling us that in all things, God works. Let's have a look at the next one. What's the missing words there? Can I have it again, please? Okay, so we know that God works, but is it good? Does he work for the good? I mean, you know, people say all sorts of things about God these days. Is God working for good? Is God working or am I struggling? Because that's the other one, isn't it? Is God working or am I striving and struggling and fighting? What's the next one? Can we have that one read, please? What are the words? Isn't that important? You see, this verse is only valid if we take it in its entirety. You can't miss any of the words out. We've got to understand that it's all things. We've got to understand that it's God that's working. But it's for a certain type of person. Why was God working for Joseph? Because Joseph loved him. And that's what we're being called to do, to love him. If we want to see God's hand in our lives, even through the bad times, a challenge that Jesus gives to Peter at the very end of the Gospels, do you love me? God works for the good of those who love him. Let's have a look at the next one. Who have been called. That should make us feel special if we understand that we've been called. If all the kids are outside playing and someone calls Gladys, probably mummy or daddy calling Gladys, or a teacher, or a friend or someone, or another child, or someone's calling David, or Caleb, or Sheila, or Mark, or Richard. When people call us, we've got value. Have we been called by God? Being called gives us value, but it also gives us responsibility. Do we know that we've been called? Do we behave as if we have been called? And what's the last thing we've got on here? Called according to his purpose. You see, we've got to get this bigger picture. See, if Joseph had seen life only based on his comfort and him having what he wanted, he would never have got this. But because he knew that he was called according to the purposes of God, that's a challenge for all of us this morning. And the challenge to forgive. We just knew that we had to get the kids doing that thing on forgiveness. Because it's such a thing. And actually forgiving others is part of walking in the calling that we have. If there's one thing that God's calling us to do, it's to love each other. And part of that is to forgive each other. What a mess we get in families. What a mess we get in churches, in communities, when people don't forgive. What was it Joseph said? He said to his brothers, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God?" My brothers and sisters, let's not put ourselves in the place of God. Because when we do not forgive, and when we judge, we're putting ourselves in the place of God. A dangerous, lonely place to be. Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." God is calling us not necessarily to save lives by giving them grain, corn. God is calling us to save lives by reaching out to people in our community with the love of Jesus. Thank you.